Get out your brooms. West Virginia is going sweeping. You are listening to the Golden Blue Nation podcast, brought to you by Elite Roofing and Construction. Roof with the best, or leak with the rest. Ryan Decker and Kevin Redfern here with you after West Virginia, the Mountaineer baseball team, pulls off a third consecutive win in Lawrence, Kansas, downing the Jayhawks back-to-back-to-back days, pulling off the first Big 12 sweep in just under a year's time. And we are here to break down the weekend series for you and contextualize where West Virginia is at now, as we are well into April at this point and the Big 12 standings starting to take shape a little bit. But Kevin, 3 days of baseball here between WVU and Kansas, and three different ball games, three impressive performances by the Mountaineers to be able to get it done kind of in different fashions all 3 days.
They did it with the pitching, they did it with the hitting, and then even on Saturday, a little bit of mazy ball, the coaching, some small ball too. So firing on all cylinders, and everyone wondered for a month, for a long time, 24 games, what would this team look like when J.J. Weatherholt and when Logan Sauve returned. Well, you got your answer this week with West Virginia's series against Kansas. J.J. Weatherholt lived up to the bill, fit right back in the lineup nicely, didn't really lose a step, and then Logan Sauve as well, which we'll get into. But yep, I mean, we alluded to maybe big things on the horizon last weekend when they were able to catch that series-ending win against Oklahoma State, and then they took that and ran with it this week against Kansas.
Yeah, think of how big, maybe momentum-wise, that last game of that Oklahoma State series was, especially after a heartbreaking loss there last Saturday and that extra innings affair. West Virginia kind of squeaks out that win on Sunday, and then they roll that into a big series sweep here this weekend against the Jayhawks. But you're right, maybe I buried the lead there. J.J. Weatherholt, for those who didn't see it on Friday or Saturday, J.J. Weatherholt is back in the lineup for the Mountaineers after missing 24 games. He returns on Friday night. A big performance that day, 3-for-4 at the dish in his return. He does have, J.J. does, at least one hit in all three games of this series. Both he, J.J., and his compadre behind the plate, Logan Sauve, really good performances in their return. But maybe let's start on Friday and that wild game Friday night. Kevin, you were watching it the entire way here. A game where West Virginia was down 7-3 and just chipped away a big seventh inning there, and J.J. and Logan in the middle of that, but West Virginia finding a way to come back and start this series with a victory.
Yeah, and it looked like it was going to be another Friday night pitcher's duel like we've seen on WVU's side with Aiden Major on the mound and from some other Big 12 teams so far early in the season. But really, Aiden Major kind of just had a meh start. And then on Kansas' side, Reese Dutton, who's one of the best pitchers in the conference, he threw a great game for six innings, and then when they pulled him, that's when West Virginia was able to take advantage of the Kansas pitching and really chip away, like you said, back in the game. They were down as much as 7-3. Aiden Major, he ended up going five innings, five runs, only four of them were earned. So we'd seen him kind of dominate in most of his starts. We saw him take a big step back against Oklahoma. And then in this start against Kansas, it was somewhere in between, and really kind of let his emotions make the best of him on the mound. But like you and I both mentioned, a big eighth inning or a big seventh inning for West Virginia at the plate with Kansas bullpen. They were able to take a 9-7 lead, it looks like. And then when Kansas was able to squander that, who comes and saves the day other than Brody Kresser tying the game in the ninth with a solo shot, and then J.J. Weatherholt with the game-winning double. If only that game would have happened at Kendrick Family Ballpark, it would have been anarchy.
Yeah, and what a home run. That Kresser home run, I think because of what happens here on Sunday, and we'll get to it in a few moments, but that Kresser home run was one of the biggest home runs of the season thus far because of what it meant. That kept West Virginia from losing the series opener against Kansas because the bullpen had faltered in the eighth inning, giving up the lead that West Virginia had just gotten back in the seventh. But you mentioned J.J. Weatherholt and his return, 3-for-4 on the night there on Friday night. Great to see him back. And we mentioned, I mean, a perfect J.J. return when he's up 2-0 in the count in his first at-bat and he singles, I believe, right up the middle. I mean, if there's any other way to say that J.J. Weatherholt is back, it's by that. Just good, solid contact right back up the middle when you're already ahead in the count.
Yeah, and for those who haven't spent a ton of time in a batting cage in their life, like hitters and hitting coaches in particular, they're looking for those line drives back up the middle. That signifies a good swing, signifies solid contact, solid timing. Both of his first two at-bats were just shots right back up the middle. One of them in a 2-0 count, like you said, in the hitter's count. And then his second at-bat, he was down in an 0-2 count just a strike away from a strikeout. So, I mean, if that doesn't tell you anything about where his approach is at, where his game is at compared to what it was at the beginning of this year or even the end of last year when he was hitting almost 450, I don't know what to tell you, because it looks like that he hasn't missed a step whatsoever.
Aiden Major now has given up 5 runs and hasn't made it past the 5th in 2 of his last 3 starts. Now, the one in between was a really solid performance, 8 innings of work against Oklahoma State in a game that West Virginia ultimately lost, really just a game decided by 1 run last Friday night. Are we worried about Aiden Major, or is that just 2 blips on the radar, hopefully, based on what we had seen basically up until this point of Aiden really taking over the staff and becoming the ace, aside from Derek Clark, who we'll get into here in a second?
I think it was definitely a blip from Aiden. When he struggles in those 2 of these last 3 starts, when he did struggle, command or control really was a huge issue. Both of those starts also came on the road, so I don't know if there's maybe something to note there when it comes to comfortability with your release point, with your mechanics, everything, because he really did not look like a guy who's going to struggle with control this year in his first handful of starts. So whatever's clicking for him at Kendrick Family Ballpark, I'm going to think they're going to look inwards and try to see how they can replicate that when he does make his road starts. But it looks to be, I mean, I would be surprised if he didn't bounce back strongly like he did last week. And the duo of Aiden Major and then Derek Clark on Saturdays is certainly a big one.
And one more thing on Aiden Major before we move to Derek Clark and Saturday's action. You know, Aiden has been dealing with a little bit of a thing. You know, he was a little bit of a question mark, I guess you can say, and that might still be a little strong. I believe it was last weekend. So he's dealing with a little bit of something physically right now, so he might not be 100%. But I tell you who is 100%, Derek Clark. Boy, does this kid shove for West Virginia. His last 3 starts, he has been impeccable. He's went at least 9 innings, or he's went 9 full innings, each of his last 3 starts. And this time around on Saturday against Kansas, he gets the shutout complete game. We were looking up a bunch of complete game stats on Saturday to contextualize what he's done the last couple of days. But Derek Clark looking really, really good, and efficient might be the best way to describe this guy. Clark was sitting under 100 pitches heading into the 8th inning, and then was still able to get through the 8th and the 9th and only throw about 120 or so pitches, which in college baseball, it's kind of, and even just baseball in general today, it's a number of pitches, but he was efficient in how he did it. Not a lot of high stress pitches either.
When he threw his second consecutive game of 9 innings last week, it was an extra inning loss to Oklahoma State, we asked him, had he ever done that before, 9 innings in 2 games in a row? And he assured us that that was nothing new for him, nothing different. So I don't really think durability is an issue for Derek Clark. And what a luxury is that for Randy Mazie. I mean, he can get up in the 120, 130 pitch count on some of these games. But yeah, Derek Clark is pitching phenomenally. He's pounding the zone. We talked to him last week about his changeup a lot, and that seems to be working really well. In Major League Baseball, there's this discourse about if the pitch clock is good for the game, good for pitchers. Mm-hmm. Derek Clark is a pitch clock pitcher. He pitches with pace. He throws strikes. And another thing that maybe you might not notice about Derek Clark if you're watching on TV or in the stands, he is shorter than 5'10". Like, he is nowhere close to 6', where a lot of the best pitchers in the country are at. And he's still throwing that fastball above 90 miles an hour. Kind of an anomaly across Division I baseball, Derek Clark is, but he's certainly been a joy to watch, and he's kind of taken that step where Aiden Major has taken a step back, maybe.
Derek Clark, a 1.70 earned run average after his start on Saturday against Kansas, a whip, that's walks plus hits per innings pitch, of 0.95. Those are extremely good numbers this deep into a season, and especially in a league like the Big 12 that, as we've seen this year, can be very offensive heavy at times. Derek Clark really getting it done on the mound. But as for the rest of the game on Saturday, Saturday between West Virginia and Kansas. It was a 4-0 victory for the Mountaineers. Timely hitting, aside from Derek Clark, was the other theme of the day. 3 of the 4 runs for West Virginia coming around to score with 2 outs. That kind of set the tone to a degree for Sunday. But that's a good stat to have right there. It's something that, again, without J.J. Weatherholt, this team hasn't been as good with 2 outs, hasn't been as good at the plate this year, and you can just already see the effect that J.J. is having on this lineup of he was intentionally walked a couple times in this series. The pitchers are worried about J.J. before and after he gets to the plate, and that's affecting 9 and 2 hitters and then the rest of the lineup. Big production, timely production there on Saturday by the Mountaineer lineup.
Yeah, and it's not like J.J. Weatherholt is going to have an at-bat with runners in scoring position with every time there's 2 outs for West Virginia. I mean, you kind of alluded to it, but he is generating those rallies because the other team is afraid that he's going to generate it himself. It's kind of like this weird, like, paradox catch-22 thing for opposing teams. But, I mean, JJ, he's probably not where he's going to be maybe in a month or so on the base paths yet when it comes to steals, but West Virginia is extending innings based on other teams' fear of J.J. Weatherholt, which is just a card that not many coaches are able to play.
So West Virginia wins 11-10 on Friday night, 4-0 on Saturday. So that means coming into Sunday, an early start in Lawrence, Kansas, an 11:30 a.m. local start time there in Lawrence, that West Virginia had the opportunity to get its first series sweep of the season, first series sweep of a Big 12 team since last April. And that they did, a high-scoring affair. 4 home runs in the 8th inning. That's the big takeaway on Sunday. 4 home runs back-to-back-to-back-to-back go the Mountaineers. It was Logan Sauve, Reed Chumley, Kyle West, and who's the 4th person I'm forgetting in that lineup as well? Sam White as well.
Can't forget the opposite field bomb from Sam White.
No, can't forget it at all. He lost his cap earlier, by the way, earlier in the game. But yeah, 4 home runs in a row. People are efforting to find out if a West Virginia baseball team has ever done that in the past. When that stat becomes available, certainly we will let you know. But 4 home runs in a row there in the 8th inning. And prior to that, it was all about really neither team being able to put up a zero on the board at any point with their pitching staffs.
Yeah, so West Virginia scored in 8 of the 9 innings on Sunday, and both teams recorded at least 1 run in each of the 2nd through 6th innings. So that's what, 5 consecutive innings where both teams scored a run?
Yeah, well, so from the top of the 1st through the top of the 7th inning, there was only 1 frame that did not have a run in it, and that was the bottom of the 1st for Kansas. Every other frame, top and bottom, had at least 1 run in it.
And we talked a little bit about it last week, but this is just what you're going to expect on Sunday. I think the score was, you know, in the 5-5, 6-6 range today when the ESPN Plus broadcast was talking to Randy Mazey, and he almost without a doubt said, oh yeah, this game's going to be a 17-16, 18-17 game.
He was close.
And I mean, West Virginia got there. They got to 16. Kansas only scored 9, but they put up 17 hits. It's becoming pretty predictable that Sunday is just going to be a coin flip in terms of who's going to be hot with the bats in that series. In this case where it's a series sweep on the line, obviously the odds tilt in West Virginia's favor. But I mean, man, what a contrast from Sunday to Saturday. And both of them too, might I add, like, entertaining baseball games.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't bad baseball. Only 1 error in Sunday's game. In Saturday's game, there were, it looks like there were 3 errors, 2 of which were on West Virginia. They were both Brody Kresser in the first couple innings. So good baseball, entertaining baseball, a variety of baseball. And the takeaway from that, I guess, is that the Mountaineers are playing pretty well-rounded baseball right now.
Yeah, they certainly are. You speak about how the games were different there. Saturday's performance, that pitcher's duel with Derek Clark, was a sub-3-hour game, certainly. This game on Sunday, which took 2 hours to get through the first, I believe, 5 innings, ends up being a 3:35 game, 3 hours and 35 minutes, which was better than we were on track for earlier in that game. I mean, you and I were sitting here in the office thinking, okay, we've only played this amount of games or this amount of innings, and they've already played X amount of hours or 90 plus minutes at this point. At one point in the game, I did the math, we were averaging 5 minutes per out. Not a good average or pace to be on right there.
Yeah, three straight zeros from Kansas to end the game probably speeds that up a little bit.
Definitely helped. But certainly, though, I mean, Kansas left 14 runners on the bases there on Sunday. Max Yale comes in out of the bullpen, does a really good job of getting around trouble. And that was kind of the theme for West Virginia pitchers in this game. Tyler Swatowski early was able to get around some jams, but couldn't in the third. Carson Estridge was able to get around one, but then he wasn't able to after. Robbie Porco gets the win in this one. He pitches one in the third innings. He only gives up a run. He was able to pitch around some damage, some of which he inherited. Hamilton Oliver also able to pitch around some trouble there. And then Max Yale, he finishes the game off 2 2/3 innings of two-hit scoreless baseball, 3 Ks for Max Yale, who it seems like he's starting to get a little bit stronger here over the last couple of weeks, which is a good sign for West Virginia, especially when the bullpen depth, I think, was starting to become a question mark, certainly after what we saw last weekend when West Virginia couldn't get an out late in games.
Yeah, Max Yale, David Hageman, Hamilton Oliver, all those guys who are going to eat a lot of innings out of the pen the rest of the year, they just kind of have to find some consistency. Max Yale had a rough start to the season, and then he had five or so appearances where he was lights out. Then his last couple appearances, he gave up a couple earned runs and less than two innings of work, and then Sunday was probably his best outing all year. 2 2/3 innings, no runs, just two hits. No walks either, two to just three strikeouts. Randy Mazey's been pretty articulate about how he's proud of Yale's development and his ability to perform in kind of those inheriting base runners clutch situations. But yeah, him, Hageman, Oliver, they just need to find some consistency. And if they do, man, wow. That'll make Sundays a lot more interesting for West Virginia.
Speaking of an interesting Sunday, let's talk about Logan Sauve here a little bit. What a performance he has, not only just in this series, but especially here on Sunday. Sauve at the plate goes 5 of 7 with 4 runs batted in, 3 runs scored. He hits a home run earlier in the game. Actually, it was in the 8th inning is when he hits that home run. A really nice performance out of him this weekend. 9 hits and 5 runs scored total on the weekend. And Logan Sauve, one of those guys who, kind of like J.J. Weatherholt, there's one or two others in this lineup you and I were talking about. They don't technically qualify for statistical leadership, but now batting well over 300, and that can help buoy this West Virginia offense, which coming into the weekend was one of the worst in the Big 12 in terms of team batting average, on base percentage. Look what West Virginia was able to do in those two categories alone this weekend with Logan helping lead that charge.
Yeah, it kind of got swept under the rug a little bit, but we blew it up quite loud in the preseason. Randy Mazey said that if he were to pick a guy to make a Weatherholt-esque jump in 2024 like JJ did last year, he would have picked Logan Sauve. Mm-hmm. Then he got hurt around summer time as JJ, missed a lot of time. He's only played in 16 games. 7 of them he's had multiple hits in.
Wow.
Sunday was the second time this year that he'd logged at least 4 hits. He went 4 for 4 against Charlotte. I mean, he is smacking the ball in this small sample size. You can only imagine what that would have been like if it were prolonged over the entirety of their 30-plus games. He's fitting the bill. He's playing really good baseball. 5 for 7 today. That's crazy. 4 singles in a row to start the day, I think, right? 4 in his first 4 at-bats?
At least 3.
You can tell what Mazey's doing here with JJ at 1 and Logan in the 2-hole. You're putting your best 2 players at the top. You're getting them the most at-bats. And it now becomes more apparent that it looks like the Mountaineers were playing at least half of its schedule, or around half of its schedule, without its 2 best hitters.
One last note here on Sunday. West Virginia as a team Sunday afternoon against Kansas. 18 hits as a team. 13 of those come from the 2, 3, 4, and 5 hitters in the lineup. That's Sauve, White, Chumley, and West, who incidentally all went yard there in the 8th inning. The production in the middle part of this order, plus the impact that Weatherholt has at the top, immediate impact, immediate results with the return of those two at the top of the order. You're seeing already what this lineup is capable of when those two guys are healthy. And think, neither JJ or Logan are 100%. Logan's still wearing the protective kind of cover on his knee when he's at the plate. Weatherholt was only DHing this weekend, so they're waiting for Weatherholt to get back to 100% so he can assume his place at shortstop. This lineup will get better as we go on here over the next couple of weeks, and the Big 12 is shaping out to potentially really be there for the taking for West Virginia once again. We'll get to that here in just a second. Here is a couple quick messages from our sponsors here. You're listening to the Golden Blue Nation podcast.
Elite Roofing and Construction is West Virginia's and the region's top reliable roofing professionals. Elite Roofing LLC specializes in residential and commercial roofing services and is dedicated to providing customer service that is second to none. Whether you have a new construction project or need to replace an old or damaged roof, Elite Roofing offers roofing repair and replacement services with free estimates. We also work with a variety of roofing types, including metal, shingle, tile, and rubber roofing. All of our work is completed by trained and certified roofing specialists. We never use subcontractors to complete any of our work. We work with insurance and financing is available. Elite Roofing and Construction, roof with the best or leak with the rest.
Despite the ill-fated efforts of President Biden and his wealthy New York friends, West Virginia coal is thriving and being shipped to 45 countries worldwide. Given its high quality and clean burning properties, countries across the globe are demanding and consuming it, and in-state production continues to grow. With billions of dollars of recent investment in West Virginia mining operations, combined with the reliability of our coal-fired electric manufacturing facilities, West Virginia coal is here to stay. No other fuel in the world matches West Virginia coal for base load generation and steel making. Like a good friend, it's always been and always will be there, keeping the lights on and contributing greatly to our growing economy. In fact, coal continues to sustain 50,000 plus West Virginia jobs, putting food on the table for Mountain State families. Visit friendsofcoal.org to learn more. A message from the Friends of Coal.
Ryan Decker and Kevin Redfern here with you on a sweeping Sunday afternoon as West Virginia takes down the Kansas Jayhawks 16-9 on Sunday to complete the sweep of the Jayhawks in Lawrence. You're listening to the Golden Blue Nation podcast. And Kevin, West Virginia, it's interesting. Entering this weekend, there were some question marks around this Mountaineer baseball team. I think that once again, this was looked at as a series that you have to win 2 out of 3. And if you get the sweep, even better. And that West Virginia did just that. Here's some numbers here. WVU was 5-5 in its last 10 and just 5-4 in Big 12 play entering this weekend. After the sweep, the Mountaineers are now 7-3 in their last 10 games, 8-4 in league play, and are guaranteed a top 2 spot in the Big 12 standings. And as we talk to you here, Oklahoma is about to go down to Oklahoma State in that series, which would give West Virginia the top spot in the Big 12 conference after this weekend's play. What a whirlwind of a conference this is becoming here on the diamond, and what a whirlwind season it's been so far and will continue to be undoubtedly for WVU baseball.
I think we're less than 2 weeks removed from West Virginia having the worst batting average in the Big 12. And now they're the top team in terms of standings, which obviously is a better indicator of your whole team's success. But I mean, it's such a cliche, but right now in college baseball, the parity is crazy. And part of that is because we're still pretty early in the season. At least it seems like it. But I mean, West Virginia has just taken advantage of an incredible opportunity. Kansas coming into this series was also in the top 5 in the Big 12.
Playing really well.
Yeah, with a above 500 conference record. Now they fall to 7-8 in the Big 12. They're looking at a potential bottom 5 spot in the conference standings. It's just, and that could change next week. You know, you never know. It's pretty crazy. And right now, a weakness, like I mentioned, of West Virginia's hitting is starting to turn into a positive. And there's just becoming fewer and fewer things to critique about this team. The main one, obviously, continuing to be the bullpen.
So let's keep looking here at the Big 12 real quick. West Virginia 8-4 in league play. The Sooners, as long as the Cowboys hold on, will also drop to 8-4. And by way of a tiebreaker, West Virginia will take over the top spot in the Big 12 conference standings here after today, Sunday. After that, it's Kansas State at 7-5, Cincinnati 7-5. There's a team that I don't think many people expected to be up towards the top of the standings at this point in the year. It was Cincinnati, 7-5 in league play, 19-13 overall. Texas, still right there, 7-5. And then you look at Oklahoma State, about to move to 7-5 in league play. But look towards the bottom of this league standings. Texas Tech at 7-7. So you're right in the thick of things there. You know, you're one or two games out of things at that point. But Kansas was a team that I think people had some expectations for. 7-8, as you just mentioned, after Sunday's play. Baylor, a lot of people knew were going to be down once again this year. BYU, again, a team that not many people had super high hopes for. 6-9. TCU, currently in 12th place in the Big 12 standings, 5-10 after play this weekend. The Horned Frogs just can't seem to get out of their own way. And it's interesting just to see that that was a series that the Horned Frogs lost to Cincinnati, and the Horned Frogs were leading in multiple of those games and just couldn't get it done. TCU, though, not a team that you want motivated in April and May, because that's certainly a program that can turn things around in a hurry and just vault right back up to the Big 12, the top of the Big 12 standings, I should say.
I'd forgotten this, but context-wise, the TCU team we're talking about right now is the preseason Big 12 champion.
Yep.
They were predicted to finish first in the Big 12 by a respectable margin over Texas at number two. So yes, I mean, this is absolutely a surprise. A team that's very well coached and that, like you said, probably figures itself out as the season goes along. Their identity is clearly not what they thought it was, or what a lot of people surrounding the rest of the conference thought it was. It's going to be a team to watch, a team that I expect to probably climb their ranks, chip away, get back up there in the top five quickly. But this conference is just going to continue to change. The landscape is going to change on a week-to-week basis.
What an end-of-the-season series it could be between West Virginia and TCU. Obviously, a month and change before you get to that point. It's the last regular season series of the year. But TCU could be a team extremely motivated because maybe their postseason hopes nationally are in jeopardy. And I'm sure that would end a lengthy streak for the Horned Frogs in making the NCAA tournament if they were to not this season. West Virginia, if they keep playing ball the way they have, the Mountaineers could be once again in position to have a Big 12 crown going into that last season, that last series of the regular season. How interesting that could be. Unfortunately, that series in Fort Worth, what a scene that would be here in Morgantown if things keep going the way they're going right now. But let's get out of the Big 12 here for a second and talk specifically about this WVU team. And we talked about in the first segment of this podcast how West Virginia was able to get it done on both ends with the bat and on the mound. This is the first time since joining the Big 12 that WVU has pitched a shutout in one game of a Big 12 series and then scored at least 10 runs in the other two games of the series and won all those games. That's a bit of a very specific stat right there, but it shows how well this lineup did in two of the three games with timely hitting, as we mentioned, and then you add in Derek Clark and his ace abilities that he has at the front of the rotation. If you can keep doing that the rest of the way, what a season this could be.
Yeah, and let me give you two reasons why I think why that might be the case. Winning different kinds of baseball games is definitely a skill. You have to learn to win games when your pitcher is dealing, like Derek Clark did last week and they lost against Oklahoma State. You have to learn how to win one-run games, which they also didn't do last week on Friday against Oklahoma State. Those two games felt like postseason college baseball games, at least to me. They were one-run games for the majority. Great pitching, low scoring, great defense. And you could tell that those two losses hurt Randy Mazey more than any two losses he had previously this year. Now, a week later, your starter's lights out again. Your offense isn't, you know, slugging like it has in its best games. And you generate 3 2-out runs like you talked about. That, to me, is an improvement. That is a net positive, a win from last week when they kind of didn't learn how to win those close games. Also, something we haven't mentioned for the second thing, West Virginia's midweek game this week did not happen. And there was going to be a game to be announced. It ended up getting canceled. So they were able to save all of their pitchers for the weekend. I think that was certainly a luxury, and that's aided with Derek Clark going the distance on Saturday. But that's not going to happen every week the rest of the way.
Right. There is one more open date in the schedule that potentially West Virginia could fill. There were two games scheduled before the start of the season that were ultimately canceled. Maryland and Virginia Tech were those two opponents. So one of those open dates did just pass this past week, and one will be coming up here in a couple of weeks. But we talk about midweek. Good segue here. Coming up in the middle of the week, that'll be on the 10th, Wednesday, thank you, is West Virginia taking on Marshall in Huntington. It's a Marshall program that is struggling right now, and WVU in the first two games of the season against the Herd have now scored 26 unanswered runs against Marshall pitching. Good sign for WVU, especially when they did not have Logan Sauve and J.J. Weatherholt in those games.
But they did have Reed Chumley, who had seven hits in both of those games. Oh, he had multi-hit games in both of them. So
Reed Chumley coming off a two-home run performance is going to be looking forward to the Marshall Thundering Herd, that's for sure.
I don't know which... It would tell us a lot about Reed Chumley whether he's going to sleep really well or not sleep at all until Wednesday. But either way, whichever way it works, that dude is going to be excited to play the Thundering Herd.
Yeah, certainly so. And then after West Virginia plays the Thundering Herd, they will play three here in Morgantown against UCF. It's a weekend series. And then the Pittsburgh Panthers, they come to town for the first time this season. That's on the 16th of April. And that's a 6 o'clock start at the Ken. It's a four-game homestand that West Virginia will have against UCF and Pitt, and then West Virginia hits the road for a couple of games at Texas Tech for a weekend series at Penn State, and then Baylor comes to town to round out the month of April. So it should be an interesting end to April. I know it's only the 7th of April right now, but should be an interesting end to this month with where West Virginia is. There's certainly some winnable games in there and some big games. That Texas Tech series, one we should circle for sure, and UCF playing very well at this point as well. They're 8-7 in league play in their first season in the Big 12. So some big things happening, and Oklahoma State is just moments away from closing things out in Stillwater against Oklahoma. So as soon as they do, West Virginia will occupy, by way of a tiebreaker, top spot in the Big 12 standings on April 7th. Not something that many would have thought maybe just a couple weeks ago, Kevin. What a wild sport this is.
Who would have thought? Throwing the Paul Rudd meme.
Well, that's going to do it for us. I just got what you said. Who would have thought? That's going to do it for us here on the Golden Blue Nation podcast. Make sure to stick with us this week. We've got some more stuff coming up. And of course, every weekend series will be recapped by Kevin and I for the remainder of this WVU baseball season. This has been the Golden Blue Nation podcast, brought to you by Elite Roofing and Construction. Roof with the best or leak with the rest. We'll see you later.